This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Back in August, the commodity markets began picking up steam out of their COVID-19 doldrums. While prices have risen steadily since then, many in the market are wondering how long this uptake can and will last. Clayton Pope is the president and owner of Pope Commodities in Champaign. Some in the commodities industry are beginning to wonder if the market may be close to running out of reasons to remain a bull market.
We've thrown an awful lot of bullish factors at this market, no doubt about that. And you do kind of wonder if we could be running out of fuel in the short term. But on the other hand, there's still some very live issues out there that could definitely be providing some more fuel. For one thing, I mean, the bearish sentiment when we started this thing off in August was kind of off the charts in terms of what a dismal outlook could look like. People were talking about a 3.3 billion bushel corn carryover and beans of 500 or 600 million, something like that. And then all of a sudden, things started to turn.
Pope says fund buying is one of the reasons for the upturn since August.
It's been an interesting rally just because the funds came in here with both feet and have just propelled this thing nonstop. And it is very unusual, not unprecedented, but it is pretty extraordinary to see a move be as one-sided as this one has been. And as such, it's really caught a lot of shorts off guard, I think.
Many in the commodity markets believe demand is another factor that helped prices rise from their COVID slump.
Everybody keeps referring to this whole thing as a demand-led market. We've got the first demand-led market in a long time. It's interesting to note, though, that if you look at the carryover and the whole balance sheet for soybeans since the August supply and demand compared to the November one, really the only significant change in the demand side was exports, which have gone up by 75 million bushels. Now, 75 million bushels is a lot of bushels, but it's not that many. On the other hand, the supply in that same period from August to November, the supply of soybeans has dropped 346 million. Bushels. So the net of those two is about the 420 million bushel drop in the carryover. So it's definitely been a pretty hair-raising drop to see that carryover go from 610 to 190.
He also says calling it a demand-driven market is a misnomer. The thing that's changed the most in the market is supply, not demand. Pope looked at the immediate future of the commodity markets.
Demand obviously is on everybody's mind because China is the unanswerable question for now. We'll just have to wait and see. Certainly the timing of things would suggest that they are on the tail end of their buying program right now. I would think going forward, the biggest question remains supply. And that again looks down to South America, Brazil, Argentina. They've had their problems looking at some planting delays, but let's face it, it's still a little early. Last week, I think two of the main Brazilian consulting firms down there both raised their production estimate for Brazilian soybeans.
Finally, Pope says the impact of South American soybeans on the commodity market is yet to be determined.
The point is that it's not this universal call for some crop disaster in Brazil when an awful lot of the think tanks down there actually think things are looking pretty darn good. So we'll have to see. The devil will be in the details going forward. No question, moisture levels are very dry overall. This is delayed planting for both Brazil and Argentina, but look how many years we've started off dry. I know it's a different type of soil and everything down there, but the real test of this market fundamentally, I think, is quite a bit down the road, a month or two down the road probably.
Again, that was Clayton Pope, the president and owner of Pope Commodities in Champaign. And another news out of Champaign, ag economists at the U of I have been looking through the historical crop insurance data. That data shows that since 1989, farmers in Illinois, and for that matter across the country, overwhelmingly chose to use crop insurance as a risk management tool, according to Illinois Extension ag economist Gary Schnittke.
Crop insurance is extensively used. It's used on over 85% of the acres for corn and soybeans in Illinois. That which is planted is insured. And the single most popular crop insurance product is RP.
RP stands for Revenue Protection and is just one in a series of federal government-backed crop insurance choices that a farmer can make.
What they like about RP is probably two things, the guarantee price increase associated with RP, and they prefer farm-level coverage to any sort of county-level products.
Schnittke also says it'll be interesting to see if farmers choose to include any of the new add-on crop insurance products that are coming out in 2021. And as for the right crop insurance product, he says RP is the right move.
That's a good decision. RP is a very good product. It provides excellent protection, and migrating to that makes perfect sense.
Corn and soybean farmers will make their 2021 growing season crop insurance choices come March. This year, that choice will include the Enhanced Coverage Option, or ECO. It works like SCO, but is not subject to the ARC and PLC decision. Moving on to Illinois State Ag News for your Friday. Randy DeSutter, a farmer from Woodhull, has been elected president of the Illinois Corn Growers Association for the upcoming year at their reorganizational meeting, which was held on Tuesday following the organization's annual meeting. DeSutter has served on the ICGA board for 8 years, most recently as the vice president. He will continue his role as the District 3 director for the duration of his term as president, serving members in Henderson, Henry, Knox, Mercer, Rock Island, and Warren County. Joining DeSutter in the leadership roles are Vice President Marty Moore of Jacksonville, Treasurer Sarah Hastings of Sydney, and Secretary Kate Danner of Aledo. The Exports Committee will be led by Chairman Dave Rylander of Victoria and Vice Chairman Matt Rush of Fairfield. Elected to lead the Industrial Committee were Terry Smith of Clayton and Vice Chairman Keith Sanders of Vandalia. Grassroots Committee leadership for the upcoming year are Chairman Bill Lee of Minock and Vice Chairman Garrett Hawkins of Waterloo. Two directors were re-elected and will continue in their positions as directors. They're Keith Sanders for District 11 and Garrett Hawkins for District 14. Re-elected at-large directors include Kate Danner of Aledo and Dave Rylander of Victoria. Three newly elected directors include Ellen Ron of Mount Carroll, serving corn farmers in District 2, Jason Bunting of Emerson, serving corn farmers in District 5, and Mike Shane of East Peoria, serving corn farmers in District 8. Moving on now to news from the U of I Extension. Andrew Holsinger, horticulture educator serving Christian, Jersey, Macoupin, and Montgomery County, was honored by the U of I Extension for his innovative use of technology to expand programmic reach. Holsinger received the Excellence in Technology Award in recognition for his video production work, including the addition of closed captioning to video uploads on the Horticulture YouTube channel. He has been instrumental in introducing various technology platforms to the horticulture team during the transition to remote work. Holsinger provides horticulture education for gardeners of all ages and skill levels. He offers expertise in pruning techniques, plant identification, fruit trees, and using technology methods for teaching. Additionally, he is responsible for offering leadership to the training and educational needs of the Master Gardener program in the 4-county area. Also in news from the U of I Extension, District 18, Ashley Bell, the environmental and energy stewardship educator that serves Christian, Jersey, Macoupin, and Montgomery County, was recognized for her dedicated and impactful work with the Extension. Bell received the Excellence in Program Evaluation Award from the U of I Extension. That award recognizes overall excellence in ensuring evaluation of Extension programs to primarily determine the impact of the program on participants, as well as determining program improvement. Continuous evaluation of her programs has allowed Bell to develop and deliver high-impact educational programming to accommodate diverse audiences. By tailoring programming needs to local communities, her programs have experienced continual growth over the last 3 years. Bell's program evaluations reveal that through positive changes in the knowledge and behavior of participants, long-term measurable outcomes are being recognized. Bell's current Extension role focuses on the environmental energy stewardship. She has been extremely successful in demonstrating the value of her programs to stakeholders in the area. Her partnership with the CEFS Economic Opportunity Corporation, which works to increase energy efficiency engagement in underserved communities, was recognized as an Ameren Illinois Energy Innovator Award. Ashley works out of the Christian County Extension Office in Taylorville. And now moving on to the latest news from the IDNR, Illinois hunters took home more than 47,000 deer during the first weekend of firearm deer season. After a weekend of pretty nice weather, State Department of Natural Resources spokesperson Rachel Torbert says hunters harvested a preliminary total of 47,147 deer.
Now that's compared with 50,173 from last year. So we're a little lower, but when you look at any number of factors, including weather, the number of crops in the ground, things like that, we're still looking good. And of course, we'll see what the second firearm season brings.
That season runs from December 3rd through the 6th, and there are other deer hunting opportunities in Illinois as well. The archery deer season lasts until January 17th, and muzzleloader-only hunting season will be held December 11th, 12th, and 13th. Illinois counties with the largest harvest over the last weekend included Randolph, Jackson, Fulton, Jefferson, and Hancock County. And now we'll go over your closing commodities on the early close today. They closed about an hour ago at 11:30. Your grain futures across the board were higher. Corn for December was up 6 1/4 at 4.26 1/4. March corn up 7 3/4 at 4.35 1/4 at today's close. May corn closed up 7 1/2 at 4.37 3/4. Beans higher across the board. January up by 9 1/4 at 11.93 1/4. March beans up 9 1/4 at 11.95. May beans up 7 3/4, 11.91 3/4. Wheat also higher, with December up by 7 1/2 at 5.95 3/4. March wheat up 10 1/2 at 6.07. May wheat up 10 1/4 at 6.10. December oats up 1 1/2 at 2.87 1/4. Bean meal for December up $1.10, 3.98 a ton. And December bean oil up 63 cents at 38.81. Taking a look at livestock, they were opposite of the grains, lower for your live cattle in December by 82 cents, 110.55. February live cattle down $1.20, 112.97. April live cattle down 70, 116.72. Feeder cattle for January down 55 cents, 139.62. March feeders down 50 cents at the close today, 138.77. April feeders down 30 cents, 140.10 at today's close. Lean hogs also lower. December down 22 cents, 65.95. February down 22 cents as well, 67.45. April lean hogs down 12 cents at 70.62. So to recap your grain futures, corn was up by 6 to 7, beans up 7 to 9, wheat up 7 to 10, oats up 1 penny, soybean meal up $1.10, soybean oil up 63 cents. And in livestock, live cattle were 70 cents to $1.20 lower, feeder cattle 30 to 50 cents lower, lean hogs were 12 to 22 cents lower. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here on a Friday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Friday afternoon, November 27th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.